So we come now to the end of the Christmas season. We're going to be showing that and taking down the decorations. We've come through Advent and then Christmas and had several weeks of just pondering and thinking about and looking at God's Word at what this means to have this baby born. And just to, you know, if you remember already, it seems like so long ago, we had our Eve of Eve service. Just the time together to quietly contemplate that scene. The scene of, you know, a baby born in such just low estate, as the hymn says. It's quite amazing. As we come now, I was thinking about it again this morning, and you know, with the weather getting cold, and we come out of this Christmas season, and for me, this is the doldrums of the year. It really is. I confess, I do not enjoy this time now. And maybe it's because I'm getting older and older, you know, but the time now through January, February, I have my eyes on March already. I'm just, Lord, warm up the temperature. Let's just get through this time, right? There's really nothing going on. You know, we'll have Valentine's Day in there, I suppose. And you know, and then we're looking forward to Easter. You know, actually, I enjoy doing that. But I just kind of get through the time. The days are getting longer. We can look forward to that, but we've come through this exciting time, and here we are. And so as we close off this season, it seemed to me that the focus of God's Word as they consider these things was this: looking at this heart longing that people have. And I think we all do. There's a longing for help, a longing for, I don't know, restoration, or a longing for wholeness that people feel. And when those things aren't fulfilled, they try to get that hole filled. And maybe it's through accomplishments, maybe it's through money, or houses, or stuff, or sex, or food, or drink, or whatever it may be, we have a longing. And then all we do is, you know, turn on the news, and we're consistently just, I feel like, just frustrated. I mean, our culture and our world today, and we look even just narrow in our country, our state, there's just a frustration. And what do people want? What is it that they want, or they say they want? We hear about they want freedom. Free to live their lives, freedom to just have peace, have a family, to have a good job, to prosper, to have health, security, home, community, relationship, wholeness in those things. And more and more and more, we look and these things are broken so often in our lives. Relationships do break down. We do have conflicts with people, friends, family, nations, political parties. We are lacking. And it's frustrating. We look at those in our world that has, the have-nots, the poor, the downtrodden, the persecuted. We're fearful. We have troubles. And so we cry out. We want relief from these things. And so we want someone. Can somebody fix this? And we look to all kinds of things, to all kinds of different people, all kinds of different ideas of how these things can be fixed. And I think that is the question, and that is what Christmas is about. That longing, that desire in our hearts. Now, the scriptures we went through today, I think, draw us to that question and to that answer. We saw in Jeremiah this crying out for salvation. Of one, I hope you notice in that Jeremiah, their longing for salvation, their desire to be saved. What was that? For those people, what was salvation? To the people that Jeremiah was talking to. Well, in the context here, it was the idea of gathering. That their idea of being saved was because they were scattered. Away from their land, away from their living, away from where they're supposed to be as a people. They were not secure. They're not prospering. They're not together. Not whole. And so the idea of salvation here was the Lord gathering them to bring them back together, to make them whole as a nation, to bring them back to their land where they could farm and provide for themselves and for their families. Including that were those who were at the margins of society. The poor, the lame, the blind. Jeremiah mentioned expectant mothers and women in labor. Interesting picture there. The idea of groaning, expectation, wanting this to be over with. So the idea of saved was, Lord, bring us back together. And the hope that rings out of Jeremiah in asking that question of what's salvation, of getting, being saved, is one of God's working. Over and over and over in Jeremiah, the focus is not on us, but on God. Verse 8, I will bring them from the land of the north. Verse 9, I will bring them back. Verse 10, he who scattered will gather them. Verse 11, I will deliver them. I will redeem them. Verse 13, I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will comfort them. I will satisfy them. Verse 14. So as we look today, as we try to think about this question of what Christmas means and what this baby means and what we're doing here, Jeremiah focuses right off the bat, says, look to the Lord. Because God says, I will. This is my promise. I will do this thing. And that's good news. It really is. Now, the psalm we read kind of expands on that or speaks to the longings of what God can do for us in these things. This short psalm speaks of defending us, protecting us, towards giving us our prosperity, helping us in these things. And it gives this idea of being special, of being set apart, of the chosen. And so I think the question that we have to answer about Christmas, about our longings, about our desires, our seeing the wrongs of the world and how they're satisfied is how do we obtain that? If salvation in these things was this gathering, a restoring to the land, well, that doesn't make much sense for us, does it? How do we look at these things? How does Christmas then bring us to that point where we can call to God and have our longings satisfied and fulfilled? If we're not Israel, and we're not, what does it mean for us? How does this apply to us? Because we long for these same things, right? We long for peace. We long for security. We long for community or comfort, prosperity. We long for joy. And the message of Christmas was for the world. That Jesus is the key. That he is the beginning of this fulfillment. He is the fulfillment. He's the end. The promise of God. And so I think three things that we can see then today is the keys to this fulfillment of salvation and fulfilling of longings is three things. We can be children of God. We are chosen to be children of God. And we verify this choosing and acknowledgement of being God's child by our belief and our receiving. And I think that'll make sense as we look at these scriptures that we saw today. So first we saw that great portion of John, right? That beginning of the gospel, the beginning was the Word, and just this powerful affirmation of who Jesus was, who this baby was. And if that doesn't blow your mind, read it some more, please, because it should. How does God pour himself into a baby? It's mind-boggling and makes no sense, but we see that it's true, that is who Jesus is. Verse 14 says that the Word was made flesh, that it was him. And in verse 1, we see that the Word was actually God. So we put it all together, we see that somehow, some way, this baby is God. And then in verse 12 of that beginning chapter says, those who believe and receive this are children of God. So that's the connection there. Our connection to this baby. The message of Christmas is those who can understand that, those who can have their eyes open to that and will are willing to receive that and believe that this is, he is who he is, they are children of God. That's incredible. And what does this mean for us then? What does it mean then to be a child of God? And if I am that, then how does that tie me to these promises of God of fulfillment and calling out for salvation? What is salvation then for me if it's not a gathering back to a land and that kind of thing? And that's when we get to one of my very favorite passages of all scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul just gushes his thankfulness, his praise of God in these verses 3 through 14. I know I mentioned before that in the original writings of this, it's one sentence. One sentence. Paul just goes on and on. And even as you read it, you get that feeling of just more and more and more. And here we see that what it means to be a child of God. And right off the bat, he says, to be a child of God in Jesus Christ is to have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And if we understand that, then we start to get what salvation is and what it is to be a child. Just look at the list. And we could spend a lot of time here. I'm going to resist the urge. But just take for a moment, look at what Paul tells us here. That he chose us. Which is what we saw in the Old Testament, right? We saw in Jeremiah, that God is the one who does it. Know that in your belief that somehow, and I don't know how it works. I wish I did. But in some real way, God makes the move. He chooses you. That if you are his child, then it means he chose you. We saw that he chooses us. He chooses us. He makes us holy and blameless. He adopts us. He redeems us. He forgives us. He makes known his will. He brings us together in unity. There's that gathering. He mentioned here that idea of unity is that gathering. We are his people, and in that very real way, we, by his Spirit, come together. And there is that double ring again here of already and the not yet. So understand, as we think about Christmas, as we think about what it means to be saved, it is this blessing that's incredible. I encourage you today and this week, just look through this Ephesians chapter 1 a few times. You will be amazed over and over again at how good God is, how gracious he is, how amazing he is. And he shows here again how it happens. And that's important because it happens that it's his choosing, but it also happens in what we do. If you look at verse 30, he says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed. You were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit." So there's that tension. Again, I don't know how it works, this idea of God chooses us, and somehow I take the step to believe. The way I understand it, as much as I can, is that somehow in God's economy of things, of him knowing and choosing, again, my believing is a verification of who he is. It just verifies that work has happened, and it is happening. And my believing is that I acknowledge his choosing of me, so to speak. And so somehow, some way, in that economy of being predestined and chosen ahead of time and all those things that God mentions to us, we respond. And respond is to receive and to believe. And it's a spiritual thing. And so that is how we are included. We are included. Other places in Scripture talks about like a branch being added to a tree. That's us. So the question we have then is, do you believe? Now, you're here, okay? you took the time this morning in cold weather to get out of bed, get cleaned up, go out into a cold vehicle, drive here, come into this building with these people. Why? Because you believe, right? We do weird things. We sing together and talk about God and read his word because we believe. And yet this question is one that we should always put before ourselves. I believe, but What does the believing mean? And do I really believe? Is it this marking of the Spirit? Is my life, am I receiving of Christ? Is it showing in things I do and things I say more and more and more and more? Don't get them turned around. Understand the grace is given. Know that you are freely forgiven. Know that just by accepting that it's all washed away, that we can be with right with God, that we can know Him. And in that knowing of Him, that we can be united together. And then, even in the groanings of this world, the future is bright. The future is very bright. So have you done it? Maybe. And can we, in the knowledge of Christmas and that baby who's born, as we celebrate these things, and even now as we get through these doldrums of the season and look forward to Easter, have you received? Do you believe? It's simple. It's easy. It's profound. And I know many of you can testify and speak the truth of the differences made for you. And so I pray for us as we look into 2022 that more and more and more that this acknowledgement of God's choosing will be made known in our lives. As we struggle together, as we live together, we can have joy together, we can help each other. That's what it's about. That's Christmas. It's about Jesus, the Word made flesh, so that we can be right and be with Him. And so we live out Christmas always. Amen. Let me pray for us as we close. Lord, I thank You that in Your timing and Your patience with us, that You sent Your Son, that You knew and know the longings of our heart, the desires that we have of peace, fulfillment, prosperity, belonging. You know these things. Forgive us, Lord, when we try to fulfill these things with the hollowness that the world offers. Help us more and more to acknowledge and experience by Your Spirit the fullness of Your blessings, that every spiritual blessing You made available to us in Christ. I pray, Lord God, that everybody here that's hearing My voice right now will receive and believe in You. And give Your lives totally in a new way, in a fresh way, in a deeper way. And we praise You ahead of time, knowing that He who began a good work will bring it to completion, and so we trust You in all these things. And we pray in the name of the Word, Jesus, the baby, our Savior and Lord. To the glory of You, God, we thank You. Amen. Amen.